Okay, we this is our third session in this series about relationships, and I would like tonight, you know, before we are done with the portion we're going to from Tomer Devorah, there is one more element, another piece that, you know, that Moshe Cordovero, you know, points out, that I think it's essential for any relationship. Bezrat Hashem, after this, we're going to focus more on marriage, and on marriage, and also the very last session would be Bezrat Hashem about relationship with Hashem. But you see, one of these, we said, like, you know, the Kodesh has given us a model to create relationships, and that model is the relationship we have with Hashem. We said you are supposed to emulate in our personal relationships between each other the example that Hashem sets, right? The way Hashem, you know, the qualities of the characteristics that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. So we were referring back to this pasuk in Micha, in the Navi, about the attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One of these attributes is that Hashem is l'sheirit nachalato. Right? Maybe we alluded to this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to Am Yisrael as his Yisrael Am Kerovo. Right? We have it in Tehillim, that we are, like, you know, related to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is a relationship. And it says, "Bechol tzaratam lo tzar." Whenever we are in pain, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, like, you know, he's in pain with us. It's like there is a certain oneness. As it says, Zohar HaKadosh says, Yisrael Lo'oraita V'Kudsha Berichu Chadhu. Right? There is a certain oneness between us and Hashem. So this being, like, you know, related to each other, so to speak. So Rabbi Moshe Cordovero says, Kach Itnaheg Ha'adam Im Chavero. This is the way that we Jews are supposed to relate to, you know, to each other. Kol Yisrael hem she'er basar elu im elu mipenei shehaneshamot klulot yachad. Says all Jews are related to each other because the neshamot klulot yachad, all the souls, all the Jewish souls are like, it's like one pool, it's one, there's oneness. Yesh baze chelek mize ubaze chelek mize. In other words, you know, we know that neshamam doesn't have any physical dimensions. It doesn't take space. Neshama, the Gemara says, Neshama is like Hashem. The same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem is Ro'e Ve'eino Nir'e. Hashem sees us, but it cannot be seen. The same thing is with Neshama. Neshama, we know that, you know, right, doesn't take any space, and also is above time and place, etc. So that's why it could contain, like in Neshama, could, you know, Moshe Cordovero is saying, Ubaze chelek mizeh. He says, we have in each one of us, in our Neshama, we contain spark of the Neshama of all the Jews in the world. And that's the reason why, like, you know, you meet strangers, and sometimes you have certain vibes that this person, right, like, they're Jewish. And it's not because of the shape of the nose or this and that. It's just there is a certain feeling that, you know, this. So Rabbi Moshe Cordovero says this is because of this fact that we are saying that, you know, she'erit nachalato, that there is, right, closeness, is a relationship. Ve'yesh baze chelek mizeh u'baze chelek mizeh. Each one of us contains in his neshama spark of the neshama of all the Jews all over, right? So he says, "Velachen ra'ui la'adam liyot chafetz betovato shel chavero." So Rabbi Moshe Cordovero gives us a totally different dimension of what does it mean, "Va'ahavta l'racha kamocha." Right? "Va'ahavta l'racha kamocha." It's really in a real sense. It's a literal sense, because, you know, when you see a Jew, like, you know, and you love him, it's like you're loving yourself, because this person has a spark of our neshama. V'rachen ra'ui la'adam liyot chafetz betovato shel chavero, ואינו טובה על טובת חברו. Right? And you should have a good eye, so to speak, and the benefit of everybody's for their you know to look at, watch out for their goodness. וכבודו יהיה חביב עליו כשלו. And their kavod, their honor, their respect should be important to him like his own. Shahari hu mamash, because this is you. I mean, it's like it's you have, you know, every Jew has a spark of his neshama in everybody else. So umitam zeh nitzavenu ve'ahavta lecha kamocha, and because of this we are commanded, this commandment of ahavta lecha kamocha, ve'ra'uy שגירצה בקשרות חברו ולא ידבר בגנותו כלל. If a person, like, you know, would look at any other Jew in that sense, so then automatically he wouldn't want to say Lashon Hara about, because he's like talking about himself. Right, and it's the Lord, and he would want to, right, ולא ירצה בו כדי שאין הקדוש ברוך הוא רוצה בגנותו לצערנו, בתאם הקורבה, בסיים את הקדוש ברוך הוא. Right, wants that closeness to us, and he would like HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like it when even the prophets say bad things to Hashem about the Jewish nation. There are a few instances we see that the Talmud talks about, like, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu even punished prophets. Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Shalom, Moshe Rabbeinu said Lashon Hara on the Jews. They said, "Lo, yeah, they're not going to believe in me." What happened to him?
What did he say?
Right. What happened to Moshe Rabbeinu when he said bad? I got tzaraat. What is tzaraat? Because saying Lashon Hara. Right. So Hashem was saying Hashem doesn't tolerate when even his chosen prophets say derogatory and negative things about the Jewish nation. Right. It's you know, Moshe Rabbeinu said od ma'atus kaluni. So Hashem, if they are almost going to stone me. Hashem says, no, none of that. Go, you know, go pass in front of them. You see, they're not going to do anything. Then they love you. Don't say bad things about my children. And we see it in, you know, by Yeshaya, by other prophets, over and over. So the same way, because it's Sherit Nachalato. So the same way, Rabbi Moshe Cordovero says, "Kederech she'en HaKadosh Baruch Hu rotze bignutenu ulo b'tzarenu mitam ha'kurva." So he says, we should follow. So this is the model that we need to follow in dealing with other Jews, because, you know, that's realization that, you know, there is part of me in every other Jew. So Rabbi Moshe Cordovero says, like, you know, these, I mean, he elaborates some other elements, but he says these few things that we mentioned here, he says these are really the foundations for creating proper relationships, any type of relationship, and specifically when it comes to marriage, right? The few things that, you know, we spoke about: tolerance, right? We spoke about like, you know, being givers, etc., and not takers. We spoke about chafetz chesed. You remember, to look for the positive, not to be fly natured, right? Appreciation, right? These are some of the elements that Rabbi Moshe Cordovero points out in Tomer Dvorah. Now, you see, when it comes to relationships, and tonight I would like to dwell on this a little bit. This should be focus of tonight's gathering. It's about holding grudges and about frictions. Do you want to give me a chumash, please? Dvorah with Midrashi. So, you see, we have to realize that in any kind of relationship, it's very normal, right, that frictions do take place. Right? We bear all what we said in mind, etc., etc. But in reality, right, frictions are, you know, it's part of the game. Right? You see, I like to, when I was a student at UBU, I always say it over. I was about 18 years old. I had a roommate, because there, you know, you would choose, and I wanted to shomer Shabbat roommate. So Baruch Hashem, I was very fortunate with that, right, the types of roommates that I had. So the first roommate that I had was, you know, Israelis, you know, after they finished the army, then they go to college. Mm. I was 18 years old, and I had a Temani Jewish student, right? That very nice, very, very, you know, usually Temanim, Yemenite Jews are very cold-blooded, very relaxed. So he was my roommate, and when he introduced himself to me, he said he was in the army, he was in the Israeli Navy, in the submarine, one of the submarine units. And he told me, he said, look, you know, a lot of Yemenite Jews are there in the Navy. I asked him why. He said, because first of all, there is not much space. It's very, you know, space, it's very, you know. And also he says there's a lot of friction there in the submarine, like, you know, that, you know, somebody just came back from a cruise, they were telling me how, like, you know, this huge, like, city, you know, the waves, you know, shake it like a piece of, like, straw. So he was saying, so you need people, because there are so many frictions there, and also the one, like, so the Yemenite soldiers are perfect. First of all, they are small, usually, compact, and also they say they are very, they say in Israel, they say Yamani Bared. Bared means, like, you know, cold, like ice. They don't get angry, right? They bump into each other, etc., right? So then we were discussing, like, you know, especially any kind of relationship, and also especially when it comes to marriage, it's a situation that's like in a submarine. There are a lot of frictions. Frictions are, you know, always. The Gemara tells us that kishem shepartzuvehen shonim, kach deotehen shonot. The Gemara said the same way that you would not find two people that look alike, exactly. Keshem shepartzuvehen shonim, the features, the faces look different. Kach deotehen shonot. The same way, people's are like, you know, their characteristics are different, their natures are different, and especially when it comes to marriage, it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu says clearly, Lo tov hayot adam levado, e'ese ezer. That's what the Torah says. It says, you know, Lo tov hayot adam levado. It's not good for a person, for Adam, to be levado, by himself. We saw that because really the only way we could improve ourselves is through relationships, right? So it's, you know, to become givers, etc. It's through Lo tov hayot adam levado. And then it says what? E'ese lo ezer, I will make him a helpmate. Helpmate kenegdo. Kenegdo means opposite him. That's what the Torah says. In other words, Hashem is telling us that, you know, that the whole idea of in marriage is that you have two different brains working together. They're on the same team. They're on the same team. And obviously, the Chachamim tell us, Eizuhi Isha Kesheraho Sa'at Ratzon Ba'ala, that a kosher wife, a glad kosher wife, she would do her husband's will, because you need some kind of decision-making process. But the Torah says, "Eselo ezer kenegdo, ezer kenegdo." It's good for him to have an opposing view, to give a different dimension. See, when you have two opinions, two brains working on this, so it's double energy. It's sort of like, you know, one mind duplicating itself. You have, right, Eselo Ezer Kenegdo would be, like in this Kenegdo, contrasting him, could be Ezer, it could be helping him, giving him a different point of view, something that maybe he cannot see the whole thing, it's different dimension. So because of that, right, so we see, so it's taken for granted. Keshem Shepartzufehem Shonim, the same way that they don't look alike, the natures are different, right? But you see, these differences would create, right, frictions, differences of opinion. It's a name of the game. You see, I think, you know, we spoke about this, that Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, it's very famous. I think maybe in this class was also. We spoke about it, that he lived with his wife, I don't know, 60, 70 years, I don't know how many years, 60 years at least they lived together. And his Rebbe friend passed on a couple of years before him. So it's very famous, like, you know, at the funeral, like, you know, when the Chevra Kadisha asks, like, you know, it's time to ask Mechila, forgiveness from the deceased. So they ask the husband. So he said, and people heard him say that, he said, I really, you know, he thought for a moment, he said, there is nothing that should ask Mechila for. Right. So the Jewish world was, wow, look at this. You know, these people lived for such a long time and never had asked us to ask Mechila, such a perfect relationship. So, you know, I was always appalled by that, and it bothered me. Like, is it really what it was a malach? How is it possible? So then a couple of years later, I read a sequel to that story. That once when the Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's one of his younger students had gotten married after a couple of months, and he did the wedding, etc. So then he touched base with him. So it's like, you know, how's your married life? So he tells his mentor, his Rebbe, he says, perfect. He says, what do you mean perfect? Did your wife pass on? Or did you get divorced? Right? He says, what are you talking about? He says, how is it possible that, you know, you don't have any issues in your marriage? He says, but you know, Kvod Rav, I always, you know, the picture I have in my mind, I'm your Talmid, the same way that, you know, after, you know, when your wife passed on, you didn't have asked for any mechila or anything. So this, I've been trying to emulate that. He said, you're off base. He told him, look, when I said I don't have to ask Mechila for, it doesn't mean that, you know, we never had any issues. We definitely had issues. But we would always, you know, resolve the issues and move on. Right? In a person, before we go to sleep, we said, you don't just Kriyat Shema Alamita. We have to be Mochel. Right? And, you know, and you see, it's not just to say, I'm Mochel, I forgive. We would sit down, discuss the issues, see in a civilized manner, in a respectful manner, this bothered me, that bothered me, we would resolve it, and then we'll go to sleep. Right? So nothing accumulated. That's why after 100, when she passed on, there was nothing to ask, because the mechilot, everything was taken care of before. So frictions, right, are common, and are to be expected. But the art is how to resolve, right, these kind of, like, disputes, difference of opinion, etc., in a civilized manner. Kavod is the most important thing in marriage, is mutual respect. That's why Rambam brings from the Gemara that, you know, this is the way all Jewish families, like, you know, it has been something of envy to other nations, source of jealousy, right? When Bilam looked at the way, you know, at the Jewish tents, so he says, Ma tovu ohalecha Yaakov, right? This was the enemy of the Jews, but he said, Ma tovu, how beautiful are your ohalim? Ohel, it's a house, right? He says, you see, this having, like, you know, this kind of, you know, relationships, right? You know, kavod. So Rambam says, what's the secret? What's the secret to have a successful marriage, like it has been the Jewish way for thousands of years? So he says, it's very simple. He brings from the Talmud that, you know, that the husband should love, right, to strive, to love his wife like himself, right? As we said, Arizal says, v'ahavta kamocha, the re'acha that says over there, it's your spouse. Because, you know, in one of the seven blessings, Sheva Barachot, of the marriage, you say, Ahava v'achva shalom v're'ut. Re'ut means friendship. So Arizal says, when he says, V'ahavta l'cha kamocha, first and foremost, it's talking about husband and wife. This is what he says, V'ahavta l're'acha kamocha. So he says, you know, so a person is supposed to love his spouse like themselves, and umechabeda yoter megufo. And he has to have kavod for her more than himself. Right? When it comes, like, you know, to buying clothing, this, etc. When it says kavod, so then she comes first. And vice versa. It is also derech haban. But notice that it says, like, you know, that always to have respect to their husband yoter midai, like a melech, like a king. So we see this element of kavod. It's, Rambam says it's central. It's fundamental in the relationship. Fundamental. Right. And you see, no matter what, that, you know, the first thing again, parde hormat paranash, right? This is something, you know, the terminology that is used in conversation, right, etc. Kavod is fundamental, right, to have that mutual kavod. So you see, so situations do come up, definitely come up, right, frictions do come up. But you see, it's one element of how, you know, how to resolve disputes. It's really not to hold a grudge, right? The Torah commands us, like, you know, holding a grudge, you know, it's considered a major sin, right? The Torah says, "Lo tisna et achicha bilvavecha." Lo tisna et achicha bilvavecha. It's talking about holding a grudge. So what's the remedy? So the Torah says, "Sochech tochiach." The Torah says, when issues come up, discuss it, communicate. But lo tisa, it's one of the love, you know, Ramban says that this love, the Hebrew love, right, this negative commandment, right, he says it's much, much more severe than, let's say, people would think, oh, chas v'chala, to eat chazir, to eat pork, this is, wow, the Gemara says, Har chizi mazal michal. Everything needs a mazal. He says even mitzvot, even the mitzvot of the Torah. He says there are certain mitzvot that they are very lucky mitzvot, like chazir, like, you know, not eating pig. Oh, everybody, this is, you know, everybody, chas v'chalila, they would do anything, but no, I'm pork they are not going to eat. So the Gemara says this is a very lucky mitzvah, because everybody is most Jews try to observe that. But lo tisna techecha bilvavecha, Ramban says, you see, if a person eats non-kosher food, okay, it's one avera, finished. But when it's lo tisna techecha bilvavecha, every second that we are holding a grudge, we are trampling on a mitzvah, the negative commandment of the Torah. Every second. Okay? You see, so you judge which one is more severe. This is one, you know, he ate non-kosher, okay, one love, finished. Finished, but this, it continues. It's constantly, every second that we are, when Torah says, Lo tisna techecha bilvavecha, right, and, you know, we just saw that all Jews are, right, so what's the remedy? The Torah says, Hocheach tochiach. In a civil, the Torah says, Hocheach tochiach et amitecha, velo tisa alav chet. Discuss it, communicate, right. But don't do it in a way to be degrading, and to embarrass the person and put him down, etc. This is all in Torah. Right. So holding a grudge, it's a mitzvah. It's something, as we said, constantly a person is like putting the Torah under his feet. That's what it is, because it's not comparable to, like, you know, being mechalel Shabbat. Shabbat is once a week, right? This is 7. It's 7:24. This is 7:24. 24/7. Right. Okay. I mean, people go to sleep, so maybe it's not 24/7. But you see, any minute that you're awake, and we are holding this grudge, we are being over on what the Torah says, and. So the Torah, the remedy that the Torah says, it's to discuss, to communicate. Rabbi Yonatan Epshit says, regarding Yosef and his brothers, it says, "Velo yachelu dabero l'shalom." Says the problem was that they did not communicate, because it was lo dabero, they did not talk to each other. That's why there was no shalom. If they would have communicated with each other. If the brothers, right, would have communicated with each other, they would have realized that, you know, Yosef wasn't the type, right? You see, the brothers thought, right, we have discussed it in our Tuesday night classes, the brothers of Yosef, because they saw that he said Lashon Hara about them to their father, they said, oh, you know what, there's a trend here, right? Abraham had two sons, what happened, Ishmael was kicked out, right? Yitzhak had two sons, Esav is out. Yosef wants to do the same thing. Yosef wants to kick us all out, and to be that he is the only one that is going to continue the Abrahamic dynasty. But you see, if they would have communicated with Yosef, they would have seen that this is that, that wasn't the case. And as a matter of fact, Yosef really should teach us how not to hold a grudge. Right? After all what the brothers did to him. Right? After, like, you know, the, you know, all his crying, and, you know, that, you know, they wanted to kill him, etc., etc. We know at the very end of Sefer Bereshit, right, we see that, you know, the brothers were sure that after the father passed on, that now Yosef is going to come, right, and take revenge. And really, like, you know, if we would analyze the whole, you know, these few psukim, it's really eye-opening, and it would give us some tools. How really should we could develop, you know, the skills that it takes not to hold a grudge, right? The Torah tells us that, you know, after Yaakov Avinu passed on, the brothers, Vayitzavu Yosef El Yosef Lemor Avicha Tziva, that, you know, our father said, Kotomer LeYosef, please forgive your brothers, etc., etc. Right? So it's questionable whether really Yaakov said such a thing or not, but the brothers were scared because they knew that if it would have been them, what would they have done? So they went, Avayiplu Lefanav, Vayimru, Hinenu Lecha La'avadim, be you the slaves. Yosef tells them, look, Al Tirao, Ki Atachat Elokim Ani. He says, look, don't be scared. Am I God? Atem Chashavtem Alai. You had bad thoughts about me. Yes, no question. You were wrong. Elokim Chashava LeTova. Leman, right? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Hashem had other plans, right? In other words, Yosef HaTzadik is telling us that, you see, when such a thing happens to a person, and you see, I mean, obviously, they came to apologize. If they wouldn't have come to apologize, maybe the scenario would have been different. They came to apologize. They regret it. And you see, Yosef HaTzadik also, when did he reveal himself to his brothers? After he saw that they had done Teshuvah Gemurah, complete repentance. When he saw that they were willing to sacrifice themselves for Binyamin, and Binyamin is the full brother of Yosef, right? And he had heard them before, that he said, oh, we were wrong, all these things that are happening, yes, it's because all the wrong things we did to our brother, to our brother, Yosef HaTzadik saw that they wanted to do tshuva, and they apologized, etc. So now how does Yosef HaTzadik bring himself not to hold the grudge against them? He says, look, there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. You had certain plans, whatever, you had machshavot ra'ot. But you see, he detached, he realizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world. He says, look, Hashem had, it's not you, Hashem had his plans, right? Hashem had other plans. By the way, Maharal says that's also the reason why Yosef sent to his father 10 donkeys, exactly 10 donkeys, loaded with all kinds of gifts and goods. How come 10? And how come Hamurim? So Maharal says that, you know, Yosef was giving his father a very profound message to be forgiving of his brothers. How many brothers were involved in selling him?
10.
There are 12 tribes. Yosef is the one who was the victim. Binyamin wasn't involved. 10 tribes. So Yosef was telling his father the following. Look, my brothers were like chamorim. A chamor, a donkey, you put a load on it and it carries it. Does the chamor know what he's carrying? No. He says, my brothers also, me, my brothers, we were like, when Hashem had his plans, we have to go to Mitzrayim, Egypt and this and that. Don't hold a grudge against them. They were like chamorim in that sense. Chas v'chayil, he wasn't degrading them. He was saying, giving him a mashal. The same way, like a donkey carries a load, doesn't know what he's carrying, The same way my brothers, here there was a divine plan. Like, you know, B'nai Yisrael, they have to go to Galut, they have to go to Mitzrayim, so don't hold it against them. And here he says the same thing. He says, and they say, this is, right, when it says, the Torah says, lo tikon velo titor, don't take revenge. How could it, a person not take revenge? So the Mefarshim say, Chinuch brings it. He says, you have to realize, look, you know, it's not this person. He's not the one, right? If I didn't deserve this one way or another, Hashem would not have allowed this to happen through this person. This person is just an instrument in the hands of Hashem, right? So this Yosef HaTzadik is using the same tool to teach us how is it possible really not to hold a grudge. He says, it's on you, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu had other plans. And look how far he goes. He says, the Torah says that Vayar, it says, Vayedaber al libam. It says, Va'ata al tirau. Yosef told his brothers, Al tirau, Anochi achalkel etchem. I am going to take care of you and your families, your kids. And then he says, Vaynachem otam. He consoled them. Vayedaber al libam. He spoke, he said words that settled on his heart. What did he say? What is this last thing that, you know, Vaydabar al-Libam? So Rashi says an amazing, amazing explanation that Rashi brings from a Midrash. Vaydabar al-Libam, Devarim hamitkablim al-Halev. He told them words that sit on a person's heart, so to speak. What did he say? He says, Ad shelo yaratem lekan. He says, till before he came down to Mitzrayim, he's telling his brothers, "Hayu merananim alai shani eved." They were saying, like, you know, lashon hara about Yosef, that who's this slave, this Jew boy? He came and became he's a nobody, a slave, right? And he was just, you know, he was lucky that he became now the highest position in Mitzrayim. Va'al yedechem, you see, now Yosef is thanking his brothers. Val yedechem nuda shani ben chorin. Now everybody knows that I wasn't a slave. I'm coming from a very look. They see for Sichuvim and Kasokardaram. I have all these families. Look at my brothers. I have a family. I have this and that. You did me a favor. That's what Yosef is saying. Right? Not only I don't have a grudge against you. You did me a favor. He says, "Va'al yedechem nodah shani ben chorin va'ani horeg etchem." If I would kill you, what are you going to say? You're going to say, "Kat shel bachurim ra'ah." He saw like in a bunch of guys, a gang of guys, and he said, "Oh, these are my brothers." Right? Is there a brother to kill his brothers? So you see, Yosef HaTzadik, this is, you see, Yosef HaTzadik, he is the epitome of showing us also the techniques how not to hold a grudge. You have to realize this thing happened. You know, it's Mishamayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his ways, right? If Hashem didn't want this to happen, it would not have happened, right? And to be like in that kind of position, to be able, right, to let go, right? And to be, and you see, you know, we are careful to keep Hashem's mitzvot. This is probably one of the most severe mitzvot lo ta'aseh that you have in the Torah. Lo tisnai t'achicha v'levavecha. And it's also in relationships, and also in marriage. So you see, some techniques that, you know, therapists use, you know, for relationships. They talk about, like, you know, thinking in terms of the relationships like a bank account. You see, if you have a bank account that you constantly deposit, so sometimes also could withdraw, right? It would be good when we have in a marriage or in other relationships. When we see we have a relationship with an individual, and constantly, because of the good point of the relationship, deposits are made into this bank account, So if sometimes there is a withdrawal or sometimes a check bounces, still look at the savings that you still have in that relationship. Right? To look at the big picture and not dwell on one incident. You see, if you remember, how many years ago was it that that Israeli soldier was kidnapped by Hamas in Machshavon? Nachshon Waxman was his name, I think. Probably at least 15 years ago, right? That, you know, that you know, they kidnapped an Israeli soldier, and then the Israeli commandos, like, you know, attacked, you know, and the whole world was saying Tehillim for the Nachshon Waxman. It was an American from an American family that had moved to Israel. So you see, it was very moving to me that afterwards the father became very prominent in Israel. The father, you know, unfortunately, when the Israeli commandos raided, they knew where he was, and he got killed. They killed the terrorists, and unfortunately Nachshon also. Hashem Yikom Damo, that Nachshon also was killed. But you see, then afterwards, some Israeli, you know, reporters, you know, they interviewed the father. And they asked him, you know, you're a religious Jew. Your relationship with Hashem wasn't shattered through this? Look, you know, to lose a 19, 20 years old young boy, and, you know, all these prayers and everything, doesn't it do anything to your emunah, to your belief? So he told them, he said, look, he said, I have an ongoing relationship with Hashem. He said, I'm a child of Holocaust survivors. Hashem miraculously saved my parents. My parents came to America, and they were, Baruch Hashem, very successful, right? And he says, I was born, right? And, you know, Baruch Hashem, whatever I asked Hashem, he always delivered. I wanted to be successful, you know, in my studies. I was. I had a good job. Baruch Hashem, I made good money. I wanted to get married. I prayed to Hashem, right? Hashem gave me the best, you know, wife in the world, right? I wanted from Hashem, you know, beautiful children. Hashem gave me the best. On and on and on. Whenever I ask Hashem something, he delivers. This time, I asked him, Hashem, please save my Nachshon. And this time Hashem said no. He said, in an ongoing relationship that you always, you see your friend is delivering, once if he says no, you realize that there is a reason. Right? Because you are securing the relationship. When you know, right, that you, so if you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, if I say Hashem always delivered, and now he said no, I know that the love is there. I don't understand it. He knows better. He said no. He chose to say no. So this is what I'm alluding to, that I think the relationship is like a bank. Husband and wife, the same thing. You see, you live, you know, the husband, the couple live together for years and years and years, and you know the person is basically a giving person, or she's a giving person, on and on. So if some, so as we said tonight, frictions do happen. But not to hold a grudge. Not to hold a grudge that, you know, not to be forgiving. Look, you know, I know that this person cares about me. So now if the shirts weren't ironed, or the supper, there's no supper, or vice versa. Right? So you see, we have to know that there's this relation, this bank account, so to speak, that we are, like, you know, we are depositing there, and sometimes we there are withdrawals from it, but you see, not to globalize the relationship and throw out everything because some incidents here and there. So this would be really a very, very, I think, in, you know, a practical, you know, technique to, you know, not to hold grudges. These things that we the two elements that we mentioned, one we learn from Yosef HaTzadik, that we have to realize, you know, you see, I told you the story about this guy in Tzfat, right, that would always, his wife would beat him up, right? Always he was, like, and he was the big tzaddik. Finally he decided he's going to run away. Like, it's like, you know, this other guy that, you know, always his wife used to beat him up. So once he goes and he hides all the way against the wall. She has the broom. Get out, get out. No, why did you come out? I want to show you who is the boss in this house, right? So this guy also wanted to show who is the boss. So he decided he's going to run away. So he wanted to run away. And those days they had railroads between Tzfat and other cities. He went to the train station. It was at the time that the Turks were ruling in Israel. So there in the train station, some Turkish soldiers, they see him and they start beating him up. Like, you know, and he was bleeding and all broken. Finally, you know, they realized they made a mistake. And they apologized to him, and that's it. Those days you couldn't sue anybody. So he, like, you know, was bleeding and broken. He decides to let go of the trip. So he goes back to his shul and he goes to tell his rabbi. He says, look, I don't know what to do anymore. He tells him, look, you see, you were supposed to get beaten up. So you choose. Your wife should beat you up. So this, God forbid, I'm not, especially in marriage, etc. You know, when it's physical abuse, I mean, all kinds of abuse is forbidden, but especially physical abuse, it's, I'm not suggesting at all to have tolerance for that, for physical abuse. But I'm saying, you see, what Yosef HaTzadik says, look, if Hashem didn't want this to happen, it wouldn't have happened. And you're coming and you're apologizing. That's you know, and you see how he tries to reverse it, that they are doing him. They did him a favor, right? So this is one. And the other thing is to look at, you know, the relationship, to look at the big picture. Right, goes back on what we discussed last week, that chafetz chesed, right, not to be like, you know, to dwell on the negativities, to let go. And you see, there is no power like, you know, letting go, right? There is no really, you know, and you know that. You see, my Rebbe friend always used to say that people that hold grudges, they are the biggest victims. It's like some kind of infection within a person's body, and when you let go, right, you are the one who really doesn't hold a grudge, and lets go. He's the one that really stands, or she, to benefit the most from that. So we have to and you see, you know, so frictions, it's normal. It's very normal for that to happen, but you see that ability of not dwelling on it, and especially like, you know, not, I think probably I shared with you, we had a teacher a couple of years back in the school. Once he told me a story that, you know, I was like shocked. He told me, like, you know, once a week I speak to the kids, we have assemblies. So I was telling about, like, the same idea of, like, you know, not holding a grudge, etc. So she told me, but like, I want to tell you a story. He said, like, you know, me and my husband, she said, if we have any, we have made up with ours, among us, whenever there's an issue, before we go to sleep, we have to settle it. You know why we made that? He said, because I had a friend that she had a fight with her husband, and her husband died that night. And, you know, they went to sleep without making peace. And I mean, it wasn't, hopefully not related to this. But she says that she cannot live with herself. Right. So he says, that's why we made this rule, like, that we take it seriously. When it says before we go to sleep, like in Harani Mochel Soleyach, this is our rule. And he says, you know, the famous story of Rav Levi told my father, both of them, Zichronam Livracha, right. My father, you know, was a teacher for Otzar Torah for years in Iran. So my father told me that, you know, Rav Levi told the teachers, a group of teachers, that, you know, at one point they had snitched, you know, there were some young Persian Jewish guys that had become involved with the Communist Party, as the today in Iran, right? And, you know, they were against religion and Torah and everything. So they went to the police or whatever, or to the Persian Secret Service, and they said that Rav Levi is the agent of the British or the Russians. I don't know, they made that, you know. And they put Rav Levi in jail in one of the cities, not to be named. Right. So Rav Levi told my father He said, like, you know, I could not go to sleep for a couple of nights. He asked him why. He said, because I could not forgive them. And if I can't forgive them, so I can't say Kriyat Shema. So you say Shema Yisrael, you have to say, it's not just Shema Yisrael, Hareini Mochel V'Soleach. Right? That, you know, I forgive whoever wronged me. I couldn't do that. So he says, it took me a few days that, you know, finally I told myself, look, these are Tinokot Shenishbu. They were like, and they don't understand this and that. I was able to bring myself to kind of like, you know, to let go of them, to, and they say, Hareini Mochel V'Soleach, and then I went to sleep. But, you know, it's not that he couldn't go to sleep. He couldn't go to sleep because he couldn't say Kriyat Shema. Because he couldn't say Hareini Mochel V'Soleach. So, very important to work on this, you know, not to hold grudges, and to be able to let go and look at the big picture. Obviously, it takes, you know, some years to have that kind of confidence that there is the relationship. It's basically, it's a giving relationship. That's why, by the way, like, you know, the first Shana Rishona, the first year after marriage, is considered a disaster. Why? Because you know, because during Shana, the first year, the relationship is not secure yet, right? And also, you see, as we said, Keshem Sheparzufen shown in the same way that, you know, they don't look alike. Also, there are differences in characteristics, etc. So it takes time to study each other and to know the likes and the don't likes of each other, and through that, right, to be able, like, you know, to work on the relationship, and also that element of security is missing. When a person, like, you know, like this this Nachshon Waxman's father, you see, when a person realizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly giving to him and giving to him, so then you could take also a no and still, right, still the relationship would be intact. So this is something that we need to work on. So to sum up, you know, so, you know, to recap, we did it already. You see, we are going to be tonight. We finished with the part that one is used in Tomer Dvorah, that, you know, when we would emulate Hashem's characteristics, right, in our relationships, this really could really create the proper foundation for the relationship, to Be'ezrat Hashem, to create better relationships, that the Shekhinah is going to dwell amongst us. Okay, just to conclude, not holding grudges, you know, in a relationship also we have to give also gifts, all kinds of gifts. So probably you have heard it from me or otherwise. I say, like, you know, there was this husband that, you know, forgot when, you know, it was his wife's birthday or something. Huh. So then, you know, he comes home, right, and he finds a note on the table that, you know, again you forgot my birthday, whatever. Tomorrow, you know, if you want to make up for this, like, you know, Thursday morning, whatever, I want in the driveway something that goes from 0 to 300 in 3 seconds. So she was sure she's going to find what a Porsche or something, right? Maserati that goes from 0. So when she wakes up, she sees a small box there. She opens it, it's a scale, right? Right, so...
Is it scale?
Scale! Goes from, right? So, I guess this lady didn't know how to not to hold a grudge. The day after was his funeral, this guy. Anyway, so Be'ezrat Hashem, we are going to have, I think, 5 or 6 sessions that we are going to talk about different issues in relationships. Mostly, I'm going to, from now on, we're going to dwell on marriage. Right? Till now, we're talking about, you know, relationships altogether. And then Be'ezrat Hashem, right before Pesach, we're going to have the final one about between us and Hashem. Okay, Kaddish, anybody? You have Kaddish, huh? Kaddish, Kaddish, there?
No.
Okay. Arvit, yes, question?
I just wanted to make a comment.
Please.